Amen. Take the Bible and go to Matthew 25 for just a moment. We're going to be discussing some things tonight that we're trying to build upon as we try to perform the work of the Lord here in San Antonio. Matthew 25. I want to read this portion of Scripture that came out of the teachings of Jesus. And it's a motivation for us to keep a tender heart. Notice this in verse number 34. It says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." We see there are a lot of theological things in these scriptures, things that I will not try to tap into tonight, but the purpose of my discussion tonight is focusing on this idea that the Lord points out that when you've helped others in His name, He views it as though you helped Him personally. Now, many of you have heard these scriptures, you've grown up with them, you're fully aware of them. And we see that the Lord honors us helping other people. And we see that He views it as helping Him personally. And He rewards accordingly. Now, with this idea in mind, we're going to be discussing a ministry that I've launched in last week's State of the Church address, a ministry that we've called Town East Cares. Town East Cares. It'll be a ministry that we are going to be producing and developing to be a helps ministry in our community. Now, praise the Lord, I've already had a lot of people text me with interest in being involved with that. I've already had a person come forward and ask me to pray about allowing them to be the coordinator, which I feel is a wonderful opportunity, and I think the person who has asked me to pray about that is a perfect candidate to be that coordinator. And so we'll be announcing that later when we give them time to pray about it, and we make sure that that is what the Lord is leading in that. But we've already had a lot of people come forward and want to help. And now we're praying and looking. After having the coordinator, once we get that named and in place, we're now looking to that next step to form a team of people that will sign up on a sign-up sheet that is going to be in the lobby. And Ms. Kristen, when should they expect to see that sign-up sheet? Wednesday night. That sign-up sheet will be there Wednesday night. We'll start formulating this team. What a great answer. What a great answer. Wednesday night, you should expect to see that in the lobby for the Town East Cares Ministry. But I wanted you to know a little bit more about it. I gave you a glimpse of it in the State of the Church address, but of course it was just a glimpse, something that we had to just put out there quickly because we had a lot to cover. And already the response has been wonderful, and I suspected it would. One thing about Town East, there's a lot of good things you can say about Town East, and of course there's things that we're consistently trying to work on as well, as no church is perfect, but we certainly have plenty of things you can pick apart, but there are things that we can certainly praise our church for, and one of the things at the top of the list is you're a very giving church. You're a very giving church. Anytime I've put the challenge to you to give for something in our ministry, you've met or even exceeded that challenge. Anytime we've placed before you a person in need and we've taken up instantaneous love offerings, we've always raised what we needed, and often many times I've seen us exceed what the prayer need was. I remember in our missions conference 2 years ago, we had a missionary that had a vehicle breakdown, his van that he was using, and he needed like $1,300 to get it fixed. I brought it before the church, and on the spur of the moment, we took up an offering. We raised like $1,800. We gave him that entire amount to use for his ministry to get his van fixed. And I could go on and on. Y'all have been very good at giving monetarily. We've also been a church where people have been willing to step up and get off the bench and work. We've often made a cry out for helpers and workers, whether it be a dinner, whether it be a program, maybe it's a family fun festival. We've always had that facilitated by people that want to help with that. We've never, ever had anything that we've set out to do when I've made a call out for help where we did not fill the positions necessary to run that. And God has used you in the pews to fulfill those functions. I've never called another church and said, hey, we want to have a big day. Will you send over a team of your workers? We've always done it from within. And I want to commend you for that. And that's a good trait that gives me the confidence to attempt great things, to know that I've got people behind me that will get off the bench and get excited with me, and they'll put their energy and their wallets and their time where their mouth is. They'll get involved with it. And so I've never had an issue with people refusing to respond, whether it was serving in a missions conference and cooking meals, whether it was coming up and decorating, or whether it was church work days. We've held a couple of church work days, and we ended up with so many helpers that we were literally just trying to find jobs for people to do. We had so many people here that responded to that, and man, I'll tell you, it was a beautiful thing, and we shined our church all up and just got all things caught up, and we have to do that from time to time. So it's a good trait that gives me the confidence to launch something like this, because, you know, there's got to be ministry for everybody. Not everybody can do the same thing. Not everybody can be like Miss Carol and direct the power of praise. Not everybody can teach a spiritual development class. Not everybody can be a youth leader. Not everybody can run the sound system. We've got people in place that are doing those things. And sometimes when you get good people, faithful people, that are there and they've been doing it a while and they're holding these positions and they're performing them very well, sometimes you can be in the pews and think, well, where do I fit in? And how can I be used of God? I don't want to sit on the bench. Nobody likes to sit on the bench. I hated being a bench player. The times that that had to happen to me, sometimes whenever I was coming up from the younger teams into the older teams, you had to sit on that bench sometimes. Man, I hated watching the action from the bench. I remember one game in particular where they credited me with 5 fouls, but I only had 2 fouls. It was in the first quarter. The referee called a foul on me. It was against one of our rivals. I mean, we'd been thinking about this game for a long time. And next thing I know, I had my 2nd foul. I knew I only had 2 fouls. Our coach knew I only had 2 fouls. But we were in the guest team's gym. And they raised their hand and said, that's his 5th foul. Folks, I had to sit there for 3.5 quarters. First quarter, they fouled me out. I had 2 fouls, and according to all the other records. But the one that matters, it was theirs. And I had to sit there in agony. We ended up winning by 2 points. And I had to sit there, Brother Mike, and watch that. And I thought I was just going to lose my mind. I hated being on the bench when my team needed me out there. I hate being on the bench, not where I want to be. I believe that we have a church full of people who want to be in the action. They want to be in the game, and sometimes there's not enough positions for everybody to hold a position. Does that make sense? So then you can find yourself sitting and thinking, I just don't know where to be used. I don't know where to be inserted. I don't know how can God use me here? And sometimes you go to churches. Brother Stevens and I have talked about this just recently. I remember preaching, I remember preaching, and we discussed this when I preached over there for y'all about 2 years ago, where y'all did not have a piano player, and you had to play a program on your computer that would play all the hymns. And I remember sitting there thinking, man, God's blessed us. We have Brother Cooper.
Yeah.
We have my wife that can play. Brother Cooper's out. We have John that can play. God has sent to us Miss Judy. And I think we have several more that are closet piano players that haven't let us know. But if we were in a mess, they would probably step up and say, I could play the piano enough that we could sing to it. God's blessed us. And there are churches that would love to have any of that talent. We got people second, third, fourth string deep where there are churches that, man, they would be their primary pianist. And somewhere there's a pastor begging for God to send them a piano player. We're so blessed. I pastored my first church. I was still recovering from my motorcycle wreck. My left arm was in a cast for 18 months. Some of you know the story, but I was in a wreck. My left arm was almost completely torn off. They took bone out of my hips, did bone graft surgery. And it was a long 18 months of a full arm cast all the way up to here. Well, you know, I had started a church during the middle of that. I'd left my post as a youth leader, went out and started a church with two families that were meeting about an hour away from Starlight, where I had been the youth leader. And we didn't have a piano player. We didn't have anybody to play. And I would try to play my guitar, but my arm was in a cast. And it's my chord hand. So the first year, we didn't have a guitar. We didn't have a piano player. We'd sing everything Acapulco. And we had good times. We'd get in there and just sing our hearts out. But we didn't have any accompaniment. And then one night, I met Christy. She was the piano player at her dad's church, and she was the only piano player he had. Hence, a tug of war began on her heart. But when I took her away and we married, we gained a piano player. Somebody asked me, they said, did you want to marry her because she could play the piano? I said, no, I want to marry her because she was beautiful. She was pretty. But the reality is, it was a great blessing for us. And then my father-in-law spent another year without a piano. Another year, he didn't have a piano player after that. There are churches like that everywhere where they just don't have any helpers. We're so blessed here. But what I fear sometimes is that people that have been used to being used can come to a church like this and they can see quickly that we've got a lot of talent on the roster, so to speak, and they can start to feel like there's no place for them. Listen, beloved, don't feel that way. If you're a singer, don't approach it like we've got plenty of singers and we've got some beautiful soloists in this church. We're so lucky. And man, my papa pastored for 40 years. He had a dear lady in his church that she knew how to play one song on the piano. And I went to this church probably 20 times. We sang that one song every time we went there. And she knew how to play one other song. She knew how to play one hymn, basically. She had that one down to it. She played it really good. And they always sang that one hymn. But then she would sing a solo, and she was like the only singer he had in the church. And I think every single time I went, and I'm not exact, my brothers and sisters would back me up, she sang How Great Thou Art. And it was the song that she had done. And she was the best that he had, and he used her. She was it. She was the only one willing to do it. And so she would get up and sing, and she sang that song. I never heard her sing any other song, just that one song, every time I came. But she sang it with such joy in her heart. In a little country church out in the middle of the farming area there in northeast Arkansas. We've got some beautiful soloists in our church, people that have had some training and people that really have some skills. But I want you to understand something. And our singers would all agree with me on this. We're not up here having a stage with a performance. We are wanting it to be from the heart. And don't ever get in that place where you feel like, well, I can't sing like this person or that person and feel that you wouldn't be used here. We want you to be used. We want you to use your talent. And we don't want you to feel like you can't get off the bench because there's already people in front of you. I gave the illustration of a man in the NBA named Bobby Jones who was relegated to the bench. He'd been a star player. Went to the Sixers that had a deep roster, and he ended up going to the bench, sixth man. Are you familiar with Bobby Jones, Brother Rick?
Yes, sir.
You remember that name? Number 24. I had the same number in high school, number 24. And He showed that that sixth man can be a valuable player, a very versatile player, and can be used in many ways. I want you to realize that sometimes you may not be the starter, but you can come in off the bench and make a big difference. You can come in as that sixth man sometimes and be huge. Sometimes the sixth man means that you are the backup Sunday school teacher. But we need backup Sunday school teachers. We need people that at a moment's notice are able to grab their Bible. Maybe you're not ready to lead a class. Or maybe when one opens, you'll be ready to lead it. But right now, maybe there's no opening, and that's the best we can offer. But man, you can make a huge difference. These teachers get sick and they go on trips. And we don't want to cancel Sunday school classes because one person's gone. We need them to go on. We need to continue in that continuity and continue to have them. So we need people that can say, man, I'll be that sixth man. I'll do it. I'll come off the bench and I'll make a difference. And so the Lord's constantly leading me to try to find ways. And I don't want to start programs just to start programs. I think that can wear a church out. And I think that can lead to a lot of discouragement. The Lord has to lead me in a program development, but the Lord has led me that we need to start this Town East Cares ministry. It will open the door for many people to be able to make a difference, to be able to get off the bench, to be able to help, to be able to find a place that you are contributing. And it will follow into a lot of you. It'll fall into a lot of you's skill sets. Not everybody can preach, teach, or sing, but there is a place in God's work for people who can do other things. Now, let me talk about this program a minute. I've said before, we already have a person that is currently praying to be the coordinator, and I'm very happy that this person came to me. I didn't draft this person. This person came to me, but we're praying together about it, and we'll make our final decision, and we'll go public with that coordinator when that is nailed down. But we still need this team of people to sign up, and by Wednesday, there will be a sign-up sheet in the lobby. I do ask for you to prayerfully enter into joining this team. Don't do it on the spur of the moment. Don't do it because you got excited in one message, but really it's something, honestly, you'd hate doing. I want you to derive joy from it. I want you to ask the Lord, do you want me to do this? Don't ask, does the preacher want me to do this? I am confident God has 10 to 15 people that would make this program complete. I don't feel that I need to pressure anybody or strong-arm anybody. I don't plan on drafting anybody. I feel that the Lord will give us, because he's given me the idea to have it and the burden to have it. I just have to believe God already knows the team he's going to put together to help us have this. How many of you agree with that? Say amen. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. And that's another reason why I'm just careful. I want to make sure we're doing things properly and in order and in the will of God. Because when it's in the will of God, you can't stop it. If it's not in the will of God, you can't make it happen. No matter what you do to it, it ain't going to work. No matter how much money you pour into it, it's going to fail. But if it's in the will of God, you can't stop it from happening. And that's what I want. Now, let me talk about the program. This program will be ready. These people, this team, will be ready to go into action at different times. Now, I'm going to give you a mission statement for this program. I'm going to tell you what we're here to do. We want to help the homeless, help the helpless, and help the harmed. Let me say it again. Number one, help the homeless. Say that with me. Number two, help the helpless. Who would be the helpless? Imagine a couple that wakes up at 3 a.m. to the smell of smoke. Before you know it, they're just getting their babies and their pets out and what few items they can carry. Before they know it, their house is up in flames. And they stand there in the yard watching their entire life go up in smoke. Wedding pictures, wedding videos, children's items. You'll never feel more helpless than when you stand there and you see everything that you own in this entire world gone in a blink. Those people are going to need some help. Sometimes they're not going to be members of this church, but they're going to be in our community. This community behind us has had house fires. We remember that member Chuck and Jan Olds endured a horrible house fire, and so many of you went into action. They still talk about that. I'd go see Brother Chuck, even on his deathbed. He would tell me that story of how Town East, and they weren't even members yet. Remember that, Brother Mike? Yes. They said when they came out of church, you could see the flames of his house over here. Before they even knew for sure it was their home, they knew it was in the vicinity of their home. Town East rushed into action. Oh, you never feel more helpless. I remember standing and looking into yards in Florida where a home used to stand, but hurricanes had left it nothing but a foundation. Seeing families standing there crying, picking up little bits and pieces of their life memories, feeling helpless. I've seen people in the path of tornadoes where they've lost everything in the blink of an eye and often even loved ones. We want to be there to help the helpless with a plan in place and a program that we can do. We can't do everything, and we certainly aren't ever going to be on the level of a Red Cross, but we might can add that personal touch that maybe a big program couldn't help. And those things don't happen every week, and it may be months and months, if not years, between going to help the helpless. But I promise you, if the Lord delays his coming and this church remains on this corner, there will be times that we will be called into action to help the helpless. Sometimes it may even be out of our own church family. Help the harmed. As I said before, there's people that can be harmed by fires and natural disasters, and we want to help the homeless, help the helpless, and help the harmed. That's our mission statement. Now, I do want to state this up front, what it's not going to be, so the team members can relax and not worry about this. I'm going to tell you some things we're not going to use the Town East Cares for. Number one, we're not going to become a moving company. Amen? We're not going to become a moving company. We're not going to get into helping everybody move and all that kind of stuff. That's not what this purpose is. We're not going to become a lawn service company. We're not going to become a home improvement ministry. That is not the vision God has given me. People and individuals and can rise up to that, people with individual skills. But I do not want it used in those manners. I do not want it to be where we are going to put siding on someone's house because, you know, they need help. Now, individuals can do that, and we certainly can have people help with things. But we're not going to end up becoming the ministry. I'm not wanting it to where we call up this team to get them together because we have to go, you know, move somebody in the church that's moving across town. Folks, that's just not, you know, our church provides a lot of services. And we are busy providing those services. We have a school ministry with many full-time people, but they're locked down during the day. I am very busy providing what a pastor should provide. How many of you have ever had me visit you in a hospital? Raise your hand. Apparently nobody. I've sure spent a lot of time doing it. Now, I'm not saying this to complain. It's to give me a reality. It takes me about 3 hours to make one hospital visit normally. Now, you think I'm exaggerating. John, you go with me regularly, 2 to 3 hours for one 20 to 30 minute visit. And I have made sometimes maybe 8 to 10 visits in a single week. And we're busy doing those things. That's what we should be doing. That is ministering. We have a staff that are in classrooms teaching, and that's where they should be. That's where we hire them to be. We have a secretary. She should be in that office. I don't want people calling during office hours and getting a machine. I want them to get a warm, sweet voice. And until that happens, we have Kristen. Amen. If I disappear this week and no one sees me again, you'll know what happened. I don't want there to be just a machine answering the phone at Town East Baptist Church. We have a school secretary. I want when parents call to check on their kids to hear a voice, not a machine on the church. Businesses have gone to that. If this is an emergency, please hang up and call 911. If you need to speak to the principal, hit 1. If you need to speak... Now, during after hours, we have those options and voicemails and things, but during the day... But here's the thing. She needs to be in that office. Yeah. We've got other people. Cooper works in that office over there. Cooper stays busy. He's an accountant. He's up here. You come up. I was up here late Friday night. Came by to get some things to prepare for the funeral on Saturday. And it was about 8:30, and he was in there working. And they're doing some things, working on records, getting stuff done. Hey, these are people locked in. And often in my ministry, and again, 35 years, you learn a few things. 35 years of doing this full time, I've learned that we have to be careful about getting some things started, because once it starts, people will add it to a ministry of our church that is not what a church typically should be doing. We have the right to go get a trailer and help somebody move, but people should not consider that a ministry at Town East Baptist Church. We're a moving company. And I've had it. I've had people do this to us. I've had people where they just expect that we're supposed to move them and be a moving company, and they get their feelings hurt. And I've had people expect us to be lawn services and expect us to be, you know, home improvement companies. Those are not the things that this church exists to do. We are a church that is a lighthouse of the gospel. We do reserve the right to help our members as the Lord leads us, but that is not what this ministry is going to be for, and I want to make sure everybody understands that and that I'm declaring it publicly. If you join this team, we're not going to abuse you and use you for all the things that people want you to do. Now, I want you to understand that. And I will try to protect you from those things. That doesn't mean that I won't ask for people to help us. The Lord moves me to want to help one of our elderly or one of our shut-ins in something. We have formulated time. I had a meeting with our deacons just the other day where we discussed better ways to help our elder care at this church. Now, we have John and Tina who have volunteered to head up the ministry to take care of our shut-ins. They do a wonderful job, a wonderful job. And they regularly visit the shut-ins. They regularly call them. They check up on them. And I met with our deacons and brought them even more on board. And they appreciated that meeting and gave some very good suggestions. Brother Steve, you were in on that meeting. We had a very good meeting. And we defined what we will do as a church and things that we can't allow ourselves to get pulled into. It would end up hurting us if we did. Now, with all that said, I believe there will be many, many things that we can do to help people through the Town East Cares program, and I don't want it to get diverted into these other things that will just simply wear everybody out. I want it to be ministry-based things that we can use to help people. Now, in this, number one, I mentioned help the homeless. We can be a huge blessing to the homeless at times. And in this, we can provide a team of people at times that we see it necessary. For instance, the other day, we had a full, probably a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks notice that a hard freeze and possible snow was coming. Am I right about that? Yeah. Now, we knew it was coming. We had about 2 weeks that we knew it was coming. The news was telling us. We know every January, February, it's very possible to have hard freezes. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed it. We have a lot of homeless in the shadow of our steeple. You ever? How many of you have ever been down here by the bridge? Now, those are professional panhandlers. They're people that do this for a living. They even have a license to do it. But there's a lot of them. They're always down here at this bridge. If you look in the woods and along this river, there's all kinds of tents and makeshift homes. Now, we can debate on why they're there, and some of those things are very unflattering, the conclusions of why they live that way and what's put them in that place. And if we're not careful, those reasons can make us very cold-hearted. I do not believe that you have to give them money every time you see them. You need to let the Holy Spirit guide you. Sometimes the worst thing we can do is give people with addiction problems a bunch of cash. Sometimes it's better if you do what their sign asks you to do. Buy them food. A lot of times giving them a lot of money can make them spend it on things that can be very, very bad for them. Alcohol, drugs, things that they will use that for. But we have to understand that that's just a reality, but they're still human beings, and we can be a help to them. So at times when we see things happening, that, and then just times during the year, we know where they gather, we know where there's large numbers of them. I understand that there are basically little homeless areas where there can be many, many homeless people gathered in a high concentration, that if we could set up a pavilion with tables, with bags of needed items, they would come to that tent and get those things. Now, I would want it to always be secure. I would want it to be a thing that we are being very safe about. And I would never want to put you in a dangerous situation. But I do believe that we could be a great help to the homeless community of San Antonio. I believe that we could help many of them. It's kind of like that story of the man that was throwing the fish back in the ocean when the tide went out. And somebody told him, you're wasting your time. The tide's going out so fast, you're not going to make a difference to most of those fish. And he said, yeah, you're right. Then he picked up one fish and he said, but I can sure make a difference to this one. And he threw it in the ocean. So we can't save everybody, can't help everybody, but we can sure help some. And I think that that would be blessed of the Lord. So with this, my goal is I want us as a church to provide some pop-up pavilions that we keep in storage just for this ministry. No one else should be allowed to use them. It should be for the Town East Cares ministry. I'd like to even have it where we put, Brother Kyle, the emblem that you're designing for Town East Cares on those pop-ups, and it'd be something when we pop it up, it's immediately identified as a care ministry. I'd like to have some tables that are for that ministry to set up in those pop-up pavilions. Then I'd like for us to assemble care bags or care boxes. And this is where we got to be careful. We've got very limited storage space, but we would need to get ahead and have some of these things already ready to roll when the cause comes for it. But in those little bags, my vision is I could see us having boxes or nice bags made up, or just bags, however we can get bags, but we ought to put in it some blankets, or a blanket, gloves, socks, sweaters, jackets. If we can have sweaters and jackets, sometimes you get them and you don't wear them, or you've outgrown them, or your kids have outgrown them, or sometimes you just have a jacket and you don't need it anymore and you've got a new one, or you might be compelled to just go buy some jackets. You know, at the end of the winter, this stuff goes on sale, and sometimes you can buy little jackets, I'm trying to look around, see who's got one on. Like that right there, stand up, those little pullovers even. Sometimes you can find those at blowout costs. Hoodies, yeah, there you go. And those can provide warmth. And we could have these things, and we could make boxes and bags with blankets, gloves, socks. Socks are so important when it's freezing cold weather. Sweaters, jackets, food items. Things like some potted meat that they can carry that's non-perishable. Noodles, granola bars, snacks like nuts and fruits and things that we might could assemble and put in there. Things that would mean the world to them on a freezing cold night. Things like some Band-Aids and maybe even some hats or those little sock hats. What are those called? Toboggans? Beanies. Hats and water. Things of that nature that we could distribute. When we see that the weather is going to be 106 to 109 degrees and we get those days, it'd be great if we could go to areas and set up where we can give them some fruit and some water and things of that nature that could help them set up a pavilion and distribute it. But in any case, in those bags, I'd love there to be a Bible and some gospel help things in there, some tracts and things that could help them. And I haven't envisioned, which we'll have to clean it out, but on the end of this hallway, there's a small room that's really, it's really too small to use as an office or a classroom. It's really designed to be a storage room. We've got a lot of stuff in it that can be removed. We can move it to another place, store it somewhere else, but I'd like to see that become the room that we use to store the Town East Cares things. And it'd be locked in there, and it would be used to hold those things. And at the moment's notice, if we have to go into action, we'd have some things already ready just to bag up and go. But those are things I'd like to see us do. And we would also be ready to assist in any natural disaster within a reasonable area. I'm not looking at us going all the way to, you know, the West Coast or all the way over to the East Coast or Florida, but I am saying within a reasonable distance, I would like to see us have a response team. If a tornado should hit and within a reasonable distance, we should have a team that we can send. If there was a tornado or a fire or hurricanes within reasonable ratios, we would be able to take the van and that big enclosed trailer. I've asked Brother Kyle to make a beautiful emblem for this team, Town East Cares team. He's working on a emblem that would show that, and it would be on the side of that enclosed trailer that we have. Both sides will have that on each side of it that will show that we're part of a care team and we arrive at these places. And so we would be able to be a response team that could go and set up nearby where there's any kind of natural disaster. We would use the van and this trailer to carry water and supplies that would help people out during this time. It might be some hot meals or some snacks that we could set up and serve to help people. In that, we would probably need some chainsaws and yard tools. If it were a tornado or a hurricane situation, we could be a team that could just simply go and help the responders that would place us where they need us. We would also want to place collection bins in our church to collect things that would help with this ministry. Things like Vienna sausages and Spam and things like crackers and foods that we could put in those bags, things like granola bars, things that we could hold that would be able to be stored. By the way, we often have people come by during the week and they ask us for help. We're wanting to get a food pantry ministry going. We're working on that. We're trying to get some things set up for that. They come by regularly. Regularly, people come by. Now, you say, how do you handle that, Pastor? Well, we've never had a place to stockpile food. What we've normally done is we've tried to keep HEB gift cards in the office. A lot of times I've had Kristen go get some or Cooper. Normally, that is how we would handle that. We would give them an HEB gift card where they could go get food. Now, we've had people want us to pay their light bill. We don't do that. We've had people ask us to help them save their car, and they're four payments behind. We don't do that. People have asked us to pay their rent and catch their mortgage up. We do not do that. Being a member of a church does have its rewards. When people come in off the street and want us to drop $1,000, well, the answer is no. And you say, do you feel bad about that? No. No, I do not. I don't think that that is the responsibility we're given. But I never send them away if they need food. We've often bought them a tank of gas. We've often sent them away with food. And we never want people to be hungry. I do believe that God would not have us to do that. So we have given complete strangers gift cards for $100 or $50 to go get food, depending on how many are there. We always try to help in some way. But I would love to see it where we had we've got a plan, which I won't go into tonight, of how we can start a food pantry. And, of course, some of this will hinge on when the gym does get completed, where we can reshift some things that are in storage and storage areas. But I do have a great plan that we can help these homeless people that come by regularly, and sometimes just people in need. We did have a lady that came by last summer. Her house caught on fire and burned down, and she was wondering if we had clothes or anything she could get. I couldn't help her. I didn't have anything, and I felt horrible about it. I would have loved to have been able to take her in a room where we could have loaded her up with several boxes of food and maybe even some necessity clothing that maybe we could have. And I don't want to become Goodwill. I don't have the room to be the Salvation Army. We don't need to give up Sunday school rooms to stockpile clothes. We're not going to get into that. But I do think we could at least help people with some basic necessities and some food items and things that could help them through a hard time. And it happens regularly. It happens regularly. So that is our burden. Sometimes we would be able to assist in any kind of natural disasters, especially within our community. Those collection bins would be a help. We'll get those out as soon as we can. And as the Lord leads you, you can come and place items in them, which we will stockpile in that storage room, and we'll get pre-made bags and boxes ready to go whenever they're called upon. All right, that is my vision for Town East Cares. I'm sure that that vision will grow, and we'll see opportunities to be used more. But that is the initial vision. Let me take a little second here. Who has a comment or a question about Town East Cares? And it's not a ministry for everybody. And I'm certainly not going to pressure people to get into that. If it's not a calling, you would hate it. You would hate it. But if the Lord would lead you. Did I explain it pretty well? Yes, Miss Tina. I think it can have potential to really be a help. I believe that it would show our community that we love them. And again, there's things we do for church members, but often the ministry will go on to people that are not members here. There's what we can do and what we can't do. But we ought to be able to do something. That's what I want. I feel horrible when I can't help them at all. There's a bunch of homeless children. It's staggering, the numbers and statistics you'll see. I don't know. A lot of times you can drive by things and not even notice it. But if you drive by and look down that gully right over here by the gas station, you'll see all kinds of tents, little shanties. And, you know, again, I don't know what put them there, and probably some bad decisions. Sometimes, man, it's just things happen. And sometimes, legitimately, there are people that just need to get a leg up. You know, they're going to get out of this. It's not permanent. They just need a little help now. And then there's, of course, professional homeless. I'm aware of all that. But I do believe we can help some people. Carol, what's your thought?
When we lived in Georgia, the church that we were going to, I volunteered for this with the church. It was called There's Hope for the Hungry. Other people may have heard of it before, but it was an excellent organization. And what they did is, as far as the food goes, is they would have a particular box, specific foods in the box, and they would go to the specific area like once a month where they knew that, like, a specific church or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we would all set up in there, and we were all trained. I have the book at home.
Nice.
That was where we would, the people had to come inside, they had to talk with us, and we would talk, give them the gospel. They had to sit through that before we would give them food. We were trained, and we all were given books with what we were supposed to say and everything. It was
excellent.
Really an excellent,
excellent
program, very well managed. And so yeah. These people would come, and you would present them the gospel and everything, and then they would take their food.
Yes. Excellent. And I have it in my notes to go to a phase two in a second that is a separate thing. And you're all over that, what you're describing. We want to have that here. Brother Harvey came to me just recently. He's got a friend named Travis that is connected to a big food bank. He will bring a truckload to places, let him come, and he'll set up. And he's asked if we would be a host site. I said, man, absolutely. Where we would have a place on a Saturday where people could come and get pre-boxed foods that he is providing. And by the way, we have a man in our church. And if some of you would like some, I've got some back there in the freezer, the first freezer in the kitchen. I had somewhere around 25 frozen chickens. It's your husband's, is it uncle?
Cousin.
Cousin, Luther. Luther calls me regularly and says, I've got 38 cases of chickens. Now, they come about 10 to 12 to a box, sometimes 15 to a box, and they're not individually packaged. But we take them, whole chickens, roasted, and they're very delicious. And he says, whoever will come and get them. Now, some of you are on his contact. But, man, that's why I'm trying to get the freezer. Now, unfortunately, Brother Roy has made two attempts to fix that big freezer that we had. We're probably just going to have it hauled out. I don't know that I trust it. I don't want to come into the smell of meat that's been setting in July with no freezer. I don't really trust it. He's made two attempts to fix it. He said, honestly, we can get into spending our way out of this. He said, I suggest we buy some deep freezes. So that's going to be what we're going to do. But I would love to get a bunch of those chickens, and not just to help, but to help you at times, help people in our church. I don't know how many are left, but after church, if you'd like to go in there in that first refrigerator, we've got some frozen chickens in the bottom that have been put in individual freezer bags. I don't want them sitting in there. Take them home. Take them home and feed your family with them. But we've got Travis, we've got Luther, and Travis is just needing a few people to come and help him. And what we would want is to have a station that they come in, fill out a card, then a station they go to, station two, where they hear the gospel, some things about the church, and then a station three where they get their food and they can rotate out. Now, when we get the gym, I'd like for it where they come in, sit down in the bleachers. We have a man that will speak to them, give them the gospel, a 10 or 15 minute message, and I would need somebody to get off the bench. Find an opportunity that you would have to preach about once every 2 months to a group of people. Then they would have to sit through a message, and then they'd go to a table and they'd get their food. There's a way to do it. It's you know, been proven to work good. We just need people to help, and we'll find those people. I guarantee you there's people in this room that'll help with that. But we are wanting to develop that. I've already called Travis, left him a voicemail. I said, Travis, man, I want Town East to be one of your sites. Man, get us involved. And so I'm just waiting on his call back. And of course, Harvey's helped him on several occasions. But that is exactly what you're describing, and I want that here. Listen, it's always good for people in the community to see that Town East cares. It's a good thing. It'll give us a way to get the gospel out and hopefully maybe even introduce them to our church family, and that could be good. All righty. Any other questions or comments? These are good things. Good things. Brother John. The harmed, okay. Well, there is, you know, you'd have to have qualified counselors and people. I'm not really wanting to throw our people into that at this point. But I would say, you know, I was talking about people that have been harmed by natural disasters, people harmed. You know, you're harmed when you watch your house burn down. You would be harmed. Now, certainly in that, let's say we heard of somebody that had a tragic situation, that would be great if we could send a team over there to love on them and counsel and offer counseling. People that are okay with doing that and know how to do it. Not everybody can do that type of ministry. It can be very difficult and traumatizing. And I mean that seriously. Sometimes you come in contact with things that are very, it's the stuff that you'll lay awake at night with post-traumatic stress if you're not prepared for it. And I've had things in the last week that honestly I've laid in bed at night after being told what had happened, where, I mean, the images that my imagination formed around that were troubling. And you've got to be somebody to help people in that way that has those abilities. Not everybody that can do one thing can do the other. But I certainly feel that those are needed things for those that can't do it. But we're talking more about helping people that have been harmed by the natural disasters and things, that we could go and help them if we hear about it, when we do hear about it. Any other questions or comments concerning Town East? cares? Yes.
I'd have to say that's a really good idea, especially because a lot of people that have been hurt by several people, or even Christians and stuff, they've been hurt by. Kind of view, a lot of people view us as like hypocrites, or like we don't give to help people.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, I can help save a lot of people and just like be really like a blessing to them and get them to actually, they'll be more inclined to listen, if especially when you help them and stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. It would. I want the community to know that we care. We care about them, and that when we can help, we want to help. When people see a visible sign that says Town East Cares, and it's on the top of a pop-up pavilion or on the side of that, they know that we're a church involved in the community, reaching the community, helping in other ways. We put tracks on doors all the time. We put hangers on doors. We do care about their soul, but sometimes we got to care about them physically before they'll let us help them spiritually. And so, and that goes back to some of the things you're discussing. I do a ton of counseling. I'm counseling all the time, and not all of them are church members. I mean, Kristen can verify that I do a lot of counseling with people who have heard of our church, have heard of me, and I'm regularly holding meetings to counsel people for various things. And we do want to help people spiritually, and we provide 3 services a week that is geared to help people spiritually. The Town East Cares is going to be a ministry that helps people in a more physical way. In a more physical way. All righty? There's a few last things I want to cover if there's no more questions or if I don't need to clarify anything more about the Town East Cares. We're going to have a program here on July the 12th, which is a Saturday, all the way to the 19th, which is a Saturday. 1 week, 7 days. This is going to be called Operation Salvation Saturation. We're going to order 5,000 tracts. We're going to have them placed on this table. We're going to gather around it. We're going to pray and ask God to anoint those tracts. And then we're going to make it a goal to get 5,000 gospel tracts out in 1 week. They'll be in the form of a door hanger. They'll be very nice, but we're going to get those out into the community. We're going to have some things throughout that week. We'll have some different times, maybe some meals where we can come and eat real quick, then get out and get as many as we can get out. But we're going to go until we get those 5,000 tracts out. We're going to keep going. And I imagine each night I'll have different people that can help. But we're going to have a meeting every night for that week where we get out and we do these tracts. If you can hang a shirt on a hanger, you can hang a door flyer on a door. Now, some of you men, it's yet to be determined if we can do that. We've not really displayed that talent to our wives much. But in many of you teenagers, it's not been proven, but we'll see. But we're going to hang these tracts, and we're going to get them out. 1 week, I want to see us saturate our area with 5,000 gospel tracts that we're going to have designed, and we're going to ask God to bless those and put it out there. And then there's another thing I want to bring to your attention that we just mentioned just for a minute last week. And, of course, I flubbed it. I said we're going to Ecuador. 3 times I said that. 3 times I said it. But we're not going to Ecuador, but there is a trip to Honduras. Brother John and Miss Carol, I'm going to allow both of you. Brother John, if you'll stand up real quick. Give us when are y'all going, and give us the quick information.
Well, Carol did a poster up back on the trip.
I saw that.
She's got all the main information really on that.
Mm-hmm.
June 19th through the 25th, we've already got $350 raised for food bags.
Nice.
We've got 30, 35 food bags. I'm sure we've got more.
What's the name of the actual group that you're going there with?
Final Frontiers Ministry.
Final Frontiers.
It's one of the best ministries I've ever been involved with.
Would you consider it a safe place to do?
Yes, very much so. Did you feel safe the whole time?
Very safe.
Yeah, there wasn't. The only time I did not feel safe is when these guys put us on top of a mountain like in the front. Mm-hmm. We didn't exactly expect to go up there. And it was rainy that night. It was slick. And that's a little scary.
Yeah, you're not helping my cause right now. We're not talking about that. My point being is they take good care of you. Final Frontiers is going to make sure you're safe, make sure you're getting where you need to go. They're going to provide. Can you give us an overview of what to expect if you went on this trip quickly? And either one of you can answer that. I'll have you, then I'll have you say a word.
Well,
when you get there, how does it start? What do you do while you're there? Not a far flight.
They wanted a central location, that's their primary hub as far as all their feeding centers, all the national local pastures that they support. So when we get there, there's going to be at least, and there's the opportunity to do more, you know, kind of, you know, up front the week before we go there. We say, hey, I'm interested in doing a men's ministry night or a women's widow's day. There's just all kinds of opportunities, but you will be busy every day, visiting at least a feeding center with the kids, teaching vacation Bible school, teaching classes, teaching a men's ministry. You're busy every day going somewhere, to a local village, to a local school. We'll put on different programs. It's busy, and we stay busy, but it's a lot of fun as well. And like, it's very, very, very rewarding. You know, I'm hooked. It's to the point now where I almost got, you know, we do sponsor 3 kids there. We've sponsored now for like 2 years. Now they're growing. One's getting ready to turn 16. And once you get involved in that and get to actually see it and know it, it's like, I want to go every year.
How many years have you gone total?
Three or four times.
So you're very familiar with it. You wouldn't lead us into something. With, you know, you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Support this ministry. Yeah. People that we support know about the ministry. Mm-hmm. We've got a very good reputation. And they do a lot more than just feeding centers and schools and widows. They also have some Bible smugglers or, you know, in the Islamic countries. There's just a lot of stuff that they get involved in. And it's a great cause.
What would you reckon is a ballpark figure cost that a member?
Again, Carol's done. She put together a little packet. Okay. I would say, if you're very frugal, between $1,500 and $2,000, I would say, per person. It's $700 room and board, but the room and board is like a little mini hotel. You get all your meals included.
Meals are included.
Transportation, you know, as far as
airline.
They take in, and you buy your airplane ticket, and then you've got your spending money. That's really the only thing.
Okay.
And
so that would give people an idea that want to go, what they need to start putting back for that. We will do as we've done in past. We'll take up some love offerings to help with that, and maybe we'll give that to y'all as you're directing this to be able to distribute as you need it. But I think it's a good thing. It's really nice.
And she's put together a little packet.
Miss Carol, why should somebody go on this trip? You went last year for the first time. Why should somebody go to Honduras? That's way over there.
Mm-hmm. Go to a different country on a mission trip, you see how people actually live that are so unlike you. We're so entitled over here.
Yes.
You know, and it will literally change your life. I've been on 5, and I went to India in 2006, and it was a level 5.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it was a level 5.
Yeah. Ever. Yeah.
We were in a very secure place. Our accommodations are like a
military base.
Some four-star hotel.
Very secure.
I'm not kidding either.
Yeah.
Food is excellent. You know, it's like, it's not, some of the mission trips I've been on, we had to use the bathroom in a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, I've been to India. Yeah, I know.
Amazing accommodations. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We had kids that were there with the group, and we had 85-year-old people that were there. So you can walk for miles if you choose, or you can ride in the vehicle. I mean, there's literally
accommodating.
Whatever handicap you have, you can do it.
Okay. One last question that I think people may need to know. What would they expect to be doing ministry-wise while they're there? There's a lot of ways you can serve.
Honestly, more than we do for them. So really, we just go and do what they ask us to do.
Where the need is.
You know, wherever the need is. And we just do what he tells us
I've been on several missions trips, and I come back from every one of them changed. Just changed in a lot of ways, too many to discuss at this moment. And we're not in the same boat that Miss Mary's in, where this is a permanent call, but we're all missionaries in the service of the Lord. We need to be spreading the gospel. And it's not God's will for many of you to go live there permanently, but taking a missions trip can put you off the bench and in the action. And they need it. A lot of missionaries would love to have you come and help them for a few weeks. If nothing else, just go on visiting with them and soul winning and getting out tracks. There's all kinds of ways we can be a blessing, but this trip to Honduras, I want you to sincerely pray about it. Now, if the Lord doesn't lead you to go, don't go. You'll just go and have a horrible, horrible time. And I'm not trying to strong arm you or pressure you. You'll go, and just if you've got health issues that maybe you want to go but you know it's not wise, then consider that. You don't want to get out there with serious health issues. But if you're able to go, the Lord's leading you to go, please see them about it. I believe you will love it. Nice.
And you can then see how Final Frontiers, at a minimal cost, reaches out. It's a different fashion of missions than like the missionary that goes because God's told her to go, like Miss Mary, and told her to set up over there. And I would also challenge everybody to go visit the missionaries that you can reach. I remember seeing the face of the missionaries when you get there, and the look when someone from the support, the home church, goes to them. And it's probably a little more economical for them than to have to buy plane tickets and do all the traveling themselves and all. To have someone show up on the field, I would encourage you. I mean, Mexico's right there, and you know, the price of a plane ticket for one of us, you know, I'll be glad to help somebody that wants that. God says, go see somebody in Panama, or go to Haiti. You know, I'm glad to help somebody do that. I can't go anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to send somebody somewhere. The Navajo Indians.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Things like that. If you want to go, I challenge the young people.
Mm-hmm.
Go visit the mission field.
It'll change your life. It'll change your life, and we know you've got jobs, responsibilities, kids, husbands, wives, but when the Lord can open this door for you to do it, go through it. You'll never regret it. Now, a question that I've been asked by several, am I going to Honduras? Here's the answer. I am booked to preach in Peru for Doug Rose. We've been trying to confirm that. He's asked me to come, so that would be a missions trip that I'll be taking this summer. I've also been asked to speak for Brother Hawk. We had that booked and set, and then his wife ended up going into the hospital, and we had to reschedule it. That's still floating. I've got multiple invites to come to Germany, also to the Philippines. So I've got several missions trips ahead for me in the next couple of years. Now, if the Peru trip with Brother Rose gets canceled, he's in the middle of building his auditorium. He wanted me to come and do a revival for him after they got it open. If it does get canceled, then I'm going to bounce back and go with the team to Honduras. But I don't feel I can be gone that much. I need to, you know, of course, be here. So the Lord's got me with some doors open for me personally. But I do have great faith in John and Carol and I've asked them, when they came to me, I challenged John early on in this to go and then to bring that here, to start taking groups there and being a director of that, taking those trips. So John, I know that they'll be in safe hands following you to go over there. Carol, I know that you guys will make sure they get there and get back. But that is going to be a wonderful thing. And so if my other trip gets canceled, I would love to go with y'all. I think we'd have a wonderful time. We'll work hard, but we'll laugh a lot too, I guarantee you that. We'll have a good time. So I'm leaving that up to the Lord. If he shuts the one door, I'm going to go through the other. And that's where I'm at personally. All righty, one last thing that I wanted to just quickly throw at you that I'm going to be doing. This is for anybody that wants to help with it, but we're getting a banner made up that says, Town East is praying for San Antonio, won't you join us? We're having a large banner made up. Brother Kyle's got a lot on his plate, and I've thrown a lot on it, but he's going to get to that. When he gets that banner done, we're going to make 5-gallon buckets full of concrete with a pole coming up out of it. We're going to go out in this field, facing the road, and we're going to stretch that out. And I'm going to lay a tarp on the ground in front of it. And I'm going to invite anybody and everybody that wants to come. Remember what Jesus said to the apostles? Can't you pray with me 1 hour? Won't you pray with me 1 hour? Every couple of months, I want to have a night where we just meet for 1 hour. Anybody can meet with me. And we're going to kneel down on that tarp, and each one of us take a time and pray for our city, pray for our country, pray for whatever needs. And we're going to take time to pray in a public manner where Town East is praying for San Antonio. I did this in Orlando. We did this for several years, and I always had people that came and prayed with us. Often, we had people pull their cars over and come up and join us on that little hillside that we were on. Often, Brother Nick, the policemen driving by would park their squad car and come in their full uniform and kneel down. There'd be four or five police officers praying for our city. I pastored in a very horrible crime-ridden area. And it was called Pine Hills. The nickname was Crime Hills. And people loved the fact that there was a church praying for Pine Hills. And we had a sign that says, Orlando Baptist Temple is praying for Pine Hills. And we knelt down in front of it, and complete strangers would park their cars and come and join us. It was a wonderful thing, and it gave us the opportunity to witness to people. And it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. I want to bring that here. I'm not going to pressure anybody, and there may be nights that I'm kneeling out there by myself. But when I schedule it and promote it, I guarantee I'll be there on my knees. And if anybody wants to join me, you'll know what it's all about. It's a simple one-hour thing, and we'll get back to our lives beyond that. But when you hear that happening, when you hear about us having those prayer nights, if you can come and deal with us 1 hour, 1 hour, we'll pray for our city, and then we'll get on to what we got to do after that. Some exciting things that we want to take what's happening in here out the door out there, and I believe that God's going to bless it. I hope you're excited about these things, and I hope the Lord will lead you to get involved when you can. Now, be Spirit-led. Be Spirit-led. I want to warn you, be Spirit-led. Don't get into something you don't want to do. And I'm not going to be mad at you if you don't sign up. I trust that you have a connection to the Holy Spirit to know what He wants you to do and what He doesn't. And you can't do everything. I don't want everybody doing everything. I don't want to wear you out. But I do know this. I sometimes feel that I'm like I feel when I'm at a basketball game and I'm watching that clock tick down and my team is losing and I know the time is running out. Believe me, folks, I feel the pressure of that clock that Jesus is coming. And I feel we got to do all we can to redeem this time. This time gets valuable. As a coach, I knew those last minutes. Sometimes that last minute would stretch out for 30 minutes, trying to milk that out and time out, Man, I tell you, these minutes are valuable minutes. We know that Jesus is coming soon. Let's do all we can to redeem this time and reach as many as we can, how we can. Get off the bench with me. Get off the bench. Get in the action. Let's bow for a word of prayer tonight.